when you're in jail, you can't think about what's going on past the walls. You have to concentrate on what's going on within the walls just to keep yourself sane, because when you know what's going on outside, you have no control of it, and it eats at you, and it becomes very painful, you know, and it's hard to pick up the phone to call family and stuff like that, because when you hear of what's going on and there's no control, nothing you can do, it starts to wear you down. I presently have to take medication just to keep myself from worrying and bottling all of this anxiety that builds up within yourself. And I'm sure I speak for a lot of guys in here, because most of us have family lives out there, you know, and the poor families, they suffer as well, especially if you have wife and children, and that they sort of go to jail with you in a sense, because you're not there, and they're fending for themselves, and it gets very, very frustrating, you know. And I try to cope with it as best as I can, and writing letters and poetry. I even started a small story. I've got like 4 or 5 chapters now. It's just ongoing, and you know, it takes my mind off of everything else, because when I sit there with nothing to do, I just start to relapse in what's happening outside, and I mean, that gets very unhealthy after a while. It really takes a toll on you. You have to adjust, and getting adjusted in jail takes time as well. It all depends on how large of a sentence you have. Me, I'm a first-time federal offender, and this is the first time I've ever did jail, so when I went through reception in Millhaven, you know, and they lock you down for 23 hours, and you're stuck with a person you'd never met before, and you're hoping that you're compatible with the guy, and there's a lot of fear that runs through you, because you're mixed in with a whole wide variety of guys. So you got the good and the bad, and you know, you make one wrong move, you could get seriously hurt. So you've always got that constant fear till they assess you. And of course, I was assessed as a minimum prisoner, so I left Millhaven finally after 3 months, and I got to Pittsburgh, which is just outside of Kingston, near a town called Joyceville. There's two pens side by side. One's a medium and one's the minimum. And when I got to Pittsburgh, a lot of weight was lifted off my shoulders. So when I finally did get out, you know, I got back onto the street and into the halfway house routine. And that brings up another fear, because you got to worry about guys, you know, framing you or pinning something on you to send you back, because in reality, being on the street on parole is sometimes a lot tougher than being in jail itself, because while you're in jail, you don't care if you get stoned or if you get make a little bit of brew or something like that, because you're already in jail. But when you get out on the street and they give you conditions and curfews and they're telling you how to run your life, it gets pretty difficult. The programs that they imply on you and stuff like that, you know, I'm working around CSC, and they've got total control of your life. It's not as easy as one thinks when you're outside again, and you're having problems finding employment, because now you have a criminal history. Trying to find a job in Ottawa, the nation's capital. I mean, I was fighting a whole bunch of barriers. Out of 30 jobs, for example, 10 would require a security check, so now I'm down to 20. Out of those 20 jobs, 10 might require bilingualism, so now I'm down to 10. And the 10 jobs that are left are mediocre jobs, there's maybe a couple of thousand people applying for them. So your odds, my odds were, you know, very slim. When I violated parole, I was in a halfway house in Quebec, so now I'm in the Quebec system, and I'm sitting in a Quebec penitentiary, and they've got no programs to offer me to deal with my problems. When I went in front of the board, I asked to be sent to a treatment house so I can deal with my drinking problem and stuff like that, and they denied me, and they just wanted to punish me and not help me out at all. So, you know, now I'm becoming bitter, and I'm losing faith in the system, because these people are just trying to keep their jobs, as far as I'm concerned. They don't care what your family is going through. They don't care what you're going through. They don't care about nothing. You meet these people for 20, 30 minutes, and they've got you pegged out to their opinion, and it's all on paper, and it's all in the computers and everything. So you've got a really hard chance trying to get your life together once you're back out on the street. And with the computer century now that we're going into, I mean, the computer is a very dangerous tool. It's only as good as what is put into them, the information put into them. So once the information is logged in these computer banks and people have access to them, people will tend to believe what's put in there, and that's only opinions of other people. I mean, they really never got to know John Pabst as a person. They just do their interview, they ask their questions. I mean, if you don't cry to show remorse, you could be hurting inside to no end. They don't know how you're feeling and what's going through your mind. So if you don't shed a tear or something like that, well, you don't have no remorse, which is actually not the case, you know. I suffer every day. I'll be in prison in my heart the rest of my life, you know, for what I've done, and I'm paying for what I've done, and this could stay with me the rest of my life. So in a way, you never get out of jail, you know, because people will hold it against you and look down at you and whatnot. So yeah, I'm very discouraged about the system. They got quotas to fill and whatnot, and it's just beyond belief sometimes. So that's how I feel.